time to take control of your happiness. This is Being Young at Any Age on EZ 1430. Now, here's your host, George Bentley.
Hello, hello, hello. This is George Bentley, your host of Being Young at Any Age, where we help you create your own self-directed roadmap and guide to creating optimal happiness, health, wellness, and vitality, no matter what your current challenges may be. And as you know, I tend to classify this in my seminars and other topics as thrive now, meaning that today is the day we have. The old adage, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery. Today is really all we have, and that's why we call it the present. And if we think about it, the difference between youthfulness and age is a key differentiation for us to think about. I say it, I want to help you figure out how to die young at an old age. And I encourage you to think about what the difference is between those two terms in our society. Youthfulness tends to mean that we're vital, we're happy, we're creative, we're contributing to life, whereas age is simply a number. It's just the number of times we've ridden this rock around the sun. And in this content, if you've been listening to the show, we tend to put these big buckets of information together in an attempt to simplify things, dumb it down, as it were. You know, I'm just a simple guy from Arkansas, and I like to take these complicated concepts that can be overwhelming and try to cast them into content and material that's more easily consumed and understood. In other words, you can implement the information today to have an impact on your life. And as you know, we've been having guests on the show that are experts in different fields to help bring this information to you. I like to categorize them into three major categories, what I call eat right, exercise, avoid injury, and reduce stress. Those are the key hallmarks of quality of life as we age. And if you think about it, those are the categories that we can put virtually any information that we need to be consuming to help make our lives a higher quality existence for us. For example, in the eat right category, that's where I put information regarding pharmaceuticals, medications, really anything that we do to our body. Exercise is not just working out in the gym and lifting weights, but how do we use our body and how can we maintain our life on a day-to-day basis in very simple ways that will make our physical bodies healthier and more vital? Reducing stress is a huge category. I mean, you can put relationships, finances, all kind of things into the reducing stress category. And you know me, you know, my biggest indicator of stress reduction and tool to use is humor. And I encourage you to try to practice and have a good laugh every single day. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today. And the other category is avoid injury. You know, we're going to live to be 95, 100 years old. The only question is how healthy and vital will we be when we get there? And I had a gerontologist take me to dinner years ago, right? And I was asking Don, I said, can you dumb this down for me? With Bentley baths and the medical hydrotherapy and the walk-in therapy tubs that we've got, we've been having huge impact on people's quality of life and vitality. And I said, Don, can you simplify this for me? What's really happening? And he says, you know, George, our bodies really are internal combustion engines. They're very much like an automobile. In other words, when you talk about eat right and taking pharmaceuticals out of our bodies, you're really talking about the fuel that we put into our body and the quality of our fuel. And one of the things that is different, our human body has the ability to heal itself. So every time we wreck our car and we damage it, it's not quite the same as slapping a new fender on the car, but the fact of the matter is our body is an amazing tool and we can heal and do things that other organisms can't do. And again, the core message here to you as a listener of Being Young at Any Age is that we have amazing technologies coming down the pipeline and that are already here. And I want to help make you aware of this information because if you are, that's what we can implement on a day-to-day basis to improve the quality of our lives. So in the avoid injury area today, I want to talk about our home and how important it is to us that we are proactive in making our home safer for us. You know, I've been doing this for over 15 years now, and it's interesting. We've gone through a recession, 2008, all that. And I've seen how people, and in particular seniors, have a tendency to react to changes in society. And interviewing thousands of seniors, their adult children, and their caregivers over the year, I can tell you without exception, virtually every one of them is going to say, I want to stay independent and I want to stay in my own home as long as humanly possible. And I'm a baby boomer. I got to tell you, we're the largest segment of the population and we're aging. And I'm going to tell you, it is my firm belief that we baby boomers are moving into old age kicking and screaming. You know, we do want to be healthy and vital. And the bottom line is, it's up to us. We have to ask questions. And again, I tell you over and over again, you can agree with what I'm saying with you, and that's fine, or you can disagree. But what's not fine is not being able to know for yourself independently why you agree with something or why you disagree with something, because that's the key. That means that you're the captain of your own ship and you're driving your life and creating your own existence, which again is the message behind all of this that we're talking about. Speaking about how we do this on a day-to-day basis, you know, my dad is now 99 years old, and I tell the joke about it. He's like a used Volvo. You know, he just doesn't wear out. We keep replacing parts, and he keeps running, you know, and his tailpipe may be rusting out, and his exhaust fumes are toxic, but he's still fun to drive. You know, he's take him out for a spin every now and then. But my dad has lived through a lot of challenges after I had entered this path, and one of those was about 10 years ago. He was diagnosed with malignant oral cancer. And I get a phone call from my dad on a Tuesday evening, and he starts the conversation with, "We got to talk." And the next words out of his mouth were, "I've got malignant oral cancer, and they want to have surgery on Thursday. Can you be here?" And I'm like, "Wow, Dad. Okay. Yeah, sure. Of course I can be there." You know, the bottom line of that is we had put a walk-in tub in my dad's home. We had made what modifications were necessary to his home. And when he went through that very stressful, physically challenging experience in his life, and he's going, "I know, George, no matter what happens in this surgery, I may lose half my face. I may die. I just don't know what's going to happen. But I do know that if I survive, I'll be able to return to my home. I know that we've done what we need to do to keep me safe and in the home." And in fact, you know, I talked to you about the medical hydrotherapy and the power of that. My dad calls me on Wednesday. I'm getting packing to head to the airport, and I'm asking, "How you doing, Dad?" And he goes, "Oh, I'm great, man. I'm just great. I'm awesome." I'm like, "Whoa, Dad, are you doubling up on the meds? Why are you so up?" And he's going, "I just did a medical hydrotherapy, and I'm just," he said, I just got through jogging 5 miles on a white beach in Fiji. I'm 25 years old. I'm tan. I'm buff. I mean, it was exciting." And I'm like, "Dad, what's going on?" And my point here is my dad had the medical hydrotherapy in his tub. He had had this traumatic information given to him, and he knew he was going through some challenges and he might not make it. He didn't know what his life would be like on the other side. And he says, "You know, George, there were times in my life when I was really proud of myself. And there were places in this world that I wanted to go and visit that I haven't been able to do yet. So what I decided I was going to do is I would get in the Bentley walk-in therapy tub and get into the medical hydrotherapy, and I would close my eyes and I would go to those places." And my dad was a fighter pilot in World War II, a naval aviator, was honored to be awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross. But he had gone through a series of campaigns that were very rough. They were hard, right? And the Navy said to him, he was a naval aviator, and the Navy said to him, "Look, we're going to give you R&R. You can go anywhere you want. You want to go, you know, back to the mainland, you want to go to Hawaii, where you want to go?" And he goes, "I just want to go to a deserted island and be alone for these 4 days." And that's what he did. He was 25, he was tan, he was buff. He stayed there, got his mind back together and his head straight, and he jogged on these white sand beaches. And because we have this therapeutic process available for in his home, he was able to get in there and just relax, and he went back, you know? And I said, "Dad, you're meditating." And he goes, "No, I'm not doing any Eastern cultural religion thing, you know." And I said, "Well, how would you describe it?" And he goes, "Well, I'm mind traveling." I'm like, "Okay, Dad. Well, you get in your tub and you turn the medical hydrotherapy on and you mind travel anytime you want to, okay?" And my point is, again, we have these technologies that if we make ourselves aware of them, and we utilize them on a regular basis, they can have a huge impact on our quality of life. And then, you know, fast forward A couple of years later, my dad calls and, "How you doing, Dad?" He goes, "We need to talk." So you can imagine my reaction to that. I'm like, okay, let me pull over. I'm in the car. I'm expecting something like oral cancer again, right? We got to talk. And I pull over and I said, "Okay, Dad, I'm ready. What's going on?" And he goes, "Well, I'm dating." And I'm like, "Whoa, you're dating? Okay, Dad, that's actually good news." And he's like, "Well, it's not serious. It's not serious. We're just having fun. We're just having fun." And I'm like, "Okay, Dad, that's really cool." And I knew the lady he was dating. She was a sweet lady named Gracie. And I decide, you know me, right? And I decide I'm going to tease my dad, right? And I say, "Well, Dad, you're dating? You're having fun with Gracie?" "Yeah, yeah, we were just having a good time." "How long has this been going on?" "Oh, well, you know, 2 or 3 months. And, you know, I just finally thought I needed to tell you about it." And I'm like, "Well, that's really great, Dad. Do we need to have the talk?" And he's like, well, we are talking. And I'm like, "No, Dad, you know, the talk." And he's like, I'm not getting you, George. I said, "Dad, do we need to have a talk about safety? About safety?" And there's this pause, and he goes, "Oh, no, 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 George. No, no, no. I wear my seatbelt. I always wear my seatbelt. You don't need to worry about that, you know." And he just totally didn't get it. But the fact of the matter is we're having fun and we're enjoying our time together and poking fun at each other. And that's very important. And that's the humor part. And I encourage you to think of a way, again, the pact that came out of that for my dad, I talked about this in a previous show, was we both promised, and I did it today, I do it every day, we promised we would never get out of bed and let our feet hit the floor to start our day without sincerely saying to ourselves, "You can try this, Jackson. This is going to be the best day of my life." Sounds silly, but I'm telling you, if you tell yourself sincerely, "This is going to be the best day of my life," guess what? It will be, because it's the only day we have, right? And if we live each day as if it's our intent to make it the best day of our life, it will be. And it doesn't matter what happens. Life's going to knock you down. There'll be issues or problems. The same old stuff's going to happen. You still need to stop at a stoplight or you'll be in a car wreck or whatever. But the fact of the matter is we're going through this experience with an attitude that we're looking for the quality aspects. You know, today in the studio, I got to meet a really cool young man, right? I've never met this young man before, and my life is blessed by that because I can see he's got a really good spirit. Are you understanding me? You know, I'm getting to spend time with my daughter. This is good stuff, right? We're about to go into the holiday season. And the other thing that I tell people is don't leave, let your feet leave the floor at the end of a day. You know, don't leave the earth to get into your bed to go to sleep at night without having made at least one other person laugh. Humor. Again, think about it. And the challenge I want to give you on this is seriously think about everybody that's touched you in your life. Everybody. To start with years 1 through 5, 5 through 10, 10 through 5. Just seriously sit down and openly journal about what you experienced in your life during those periods of time. And people will come to you. You will remember people that meant something to you. Or maybe you did something wrong to them or whatever. It doesn't really matter. Reach out to these people, you know, call them on the phone. "How you doing, buddy? Haven't talked to you in a long time. You know, what's going on with you?" And then if you can make them laugh, you know, buy yourself a joke book. Be silly about it. It doesn't make any difference. But if you do that, you will have more quality in your life and more abundance than you can ever, ever take advantage of. Any problems you might think you're dealing with will begin to fade very quickly in your mind because giving to other people is the most powerful thing we can do. It truly, truly is. So think about that. Now, how did we get into this? We got into all this because my mother fell in the bathtub and broke her hip, right? And I remember the story of my mom very quickly. 1983. She was 83, 2004. And my mom was healthy as a horse, living in the home she was born in rural Arkansas. My mom and dad raised my sister and I in this house after my grandparents died. And she was healthy as a horse. I called her Nana Schwarzenegger. She worked out 5 days a week. She wasn't taking any medications. She was the one that was going to outlive all my aunts and uncles. They used to joke, "Sarah's going to dance on our graves." You know, she was just vital. living the life, right? Doing great. My dad was on the other end of the spectrum, and that'll be a story for another show, but he was taking 7 to 9 prescription medications. He had 2-shot hips. He was depressed. He was on prednisone for pain. He was drinking. Other end of the spectrum. Do you get it? But my mom, on my parents' 59th wedding anniversary, was determined that she was going to be clean for her husband, right? And so she went through whatever struggle and process she needed to get herself in that bathtub in that house. It had been there since she was a child. She'd never in her a million years thought that that bathroom would ever need the change for any reason. She got in the tub, but then she couldn't get out. And on the way out, she slipped and fell. Now, I can tell you the exact story how she went through that process, but we don't have enough time. It actually took her 45 minutes to figure out how she was going to get herself out of that bathtub. And she was not about to embarrass herself by calling her husband to help her out and admitting that she wasn't capable of doing that on her own. And as a result of her denial, she actually fell and broke her hip. And that injury is what put my mom on a downward spiral. She died in a nursing home the day before my parents' 60th wedding anniversary. So think about it. We're kind of weird in Arkansas. I already have a tombstone. My parents, I don't know if any of you are from the South or rural communities, but a lot of times families will have their plots. And my parents already had a tombstone there with their birth dates and just waiting to add the date of their passing. But they did put their wedding date on there. And it's in my seminars, I show this slide where you can see that, you know, my mom's day of passing was the day before their 60th wedding anniversary. And my point is that we think about this AB game we're playing. You know, we were born. We are going to live a certain number of days. We are going to pass at some point. But we don't always focus on the importance of each of these days. Our life is nothing but a series of days strung together. And if we're not proactive when we don't think, we are making ourselves more vulnerable to things like injury. Injury in our home. Working with the people that I've worked with, I will tell you, I told you, the vast majority, 98, 99.9% of everybody I've ever talked to will tell me they want to live independently and stay in their own home. They will tell me they do not want to go into a nursing home. And they will tell me they want to be vital and happy and vibrant in their life, not suffering and lonely and sad about what's going on. And again, my word to you is that that's kind of up to us. We either create that for ourselves or we don't. And that doesn't mean we don't have challenges, because we do. So when my mom hurt herself in this home that she was born in and raised in, by the way, another little side note here, we'll talk about it in another program, but my parents' generation and now the boomer generation, we're the first generations to face being forced out of our family homes to die. You ever think about that? All four of my grandparents died in their own beds in their own home. My mother was the first person in our entire history to ever die somewhere other than in their own bed. And that's why we have this push now. We don't have the family structures we used to have, and people are being pushed harder into nursing homes and other types of situations, and most people don't want that. The other thing I want to share with you at this point is, you heard the old saying, you know, our home is our castle. Well, it really is. And as we age, a lot of seniors have a lot of equity in their home. And I mentioned in another show, I mean, I've been doing this since a couple of recessions now, you know, 2008, whatever it is. And it's not uncommon for people to think that they need to hold on to all this equity in their home. I don't know if you remember a few shows back, we had an attorney on and we were talking about asset protection and things of that nature. And financial risk, the greatest financial risk I believe anybody who has a lot of equity in their home faces, especially if they're retired, seniors, whatever, is that some avoidable injury or illness happens that forces them into the healthcare system, forces them into the emergency room or a nursing home or whatever it is, like my mom. And that's what happened to my mom. She was forced into the medical system because she injured herself. And when she came out of that process, my parents had over $45,000 in uninsured medical expenses. Are you listening to this? This is not unusual. By the way, I was listening to a story a couple of months ago Do you realize that if you ever require like flight for life or whatever it is, that your insurance, whether it's Medicare or a private insurance policy, will most likely pay very little of that? And the story I was listening to was about a young man that injured his leg. He ended up losing his leg, but Flight for Life had to pick him up. He was a doctor, actually, and they had to pick him up. And the story was about how they handle those charges. And most insurance companies will pay very little of that. And what they do, so the average is, I think, something like $40,000 for every trip. So what they do is they find people who have assets, and there's a law that was passed that allows them to charge the people who have the money more for those services. So this guy, because he was a doctor, was being charged something like $50,000-$60,000 for this trip. And of course, he didn't have any insurance for it, any coverage for it. Imagine if something like that happened to you. I mean, it's kind of crazy stuff. So my point is not fear tactics or anything like that. My point is awareness. Think about it. You know, realize there are risks that can happen out there. And if our home is not safe, if we haven't been proactive to make our home as accommodating as possible, then we really are at risk. And back to the metaphor about our home as our castle, in medieval times, the way we protected the community was we built a moat around the castle. And when there was any threat from the outside world, everybody would rush into the castle keep and pull the gate up, the drawbridge, and that's how they kept themselves safe. And I'm suggesting to you, it's not too unlike that these days. You know, if you do want to stay in your home, it's important that you build a moat around your home. I'm not saying isolate yourself, but you think about using the technologies that we have today to protect you and keep you in your home so that you'll be safe. So let me go through some of this. I mean, the numbers are mind-boggling, but we have over 2.2 million seniors who fall in their bathrooms every year and hurt themselves. Think about it. That's an epidemic, and we don't really even talk about it. But they're falling in their bathroom. If you start adding up where people fall all over, meaning all over their house or outside the home or whatever, fall-related injuries are the number one cause of hospitalization today for anybody over the age of 65 or under the age of 7. I was talking to my daughter on the way over here, and I tell people, you know, the bathroom is the 10 most dangerous square feet on earth for anybody over the age of 55 or under the age of 7. And she's reminding me that, you know, well, I fell in the bathtub, you know, and I hit myself on the faucet, my head on the faucet. And, you know, these areas are just inherently dangerous. So people ask me, you know, how can you start a bathtub company? I mean, what's that all about? And it is because I realized that what happened to my mom is epidemic. It happens to millions of people. We have more seniors dying from bathroom-related fall injuries than automobile accidents. Think about it. I mean, that's crazy. Now, how did we handle the automobile safety issue? Do you remember? The government got involved. We were killing ourselves left and right in automobile accidents. It was an epidemic. So technology came along to help us, seatbelts. And what did society do as a general rule? We pushed back against that and said, we're independent, we're federalists, right? We're free spirits. We don't have to wear a seatbelt if we don't want to. And we didn't. In large numbers, we didn't. And we continued to kill and maim and hurt ourselves. So what did the federal government do? They passed a law. You have to wear your seatbelt. It's the law. Why? Because society couldn't afford the consequences of people injuring themselves to that extent. And think about it now. If you drive or you're in a car, we have advanced technologies. You've got better seatbelts, more efficient seatbelts, more effective seatbelts. You've got crush zones. You've got airbags in your car. So as a result now, highway automobile-related fatalities are dropping like a rock. And again, that's because we're being proactive and we're protecting ourselves. Our home, we spend more time in our home than anywhere else. It truly, truly is the first place to start thinking about how do I make myself safe. So let's go through this real quickly, all right? And just so you know, again, on this path, I became a certified aging in place specialist. I became a certified environmental access consultant. I am a licensed general contractor and I am a construction real estate attorney. But really all that means is I've got a foundation to look at these challenges and issues in a way that may be a little bit different, okay? So after my mom passed, I didn't do anything to help my mom. Well, what we did, I call it, we do Band-Aids, right? And I see many, many people are doing these Band-Aid approaches. The bathroom is, and the bathtub in particular, is going to become a place that we cannot get into and out of safely at some point. It is not a matter of if, it is when. I mean, think about it. Let's be realistic. It's a truth that as we age, we become weaker and less stable. And the day will come when nobody, I don't care if you're 17 years old, you're not going to climb over a wall and lay down on the floor to take a bath. We haven't changed bathtub design in 3,000 years. But there are new technologies that are out there. So the bathtub is just horrifically dangerous. You'll reach the point where you get into it one day, just like my mom, and you won't be able to get back out. So number one is, let's get out of denial and let's really evaluate how safe am I in my transitions into and out of my bathtub. And showers, by the way, if you're looking at the video here, I wrote a little book called Killer Bathrooms. People think, oh, I'll just go into the shower. Showers are more dangerous than bathtubs. The issue with bathtubs getting in and getting out. You know, but once you're laying on the floor, you're pretty safe. With a shower, you are at risk the entire time. You're standing, I call it doing the rain dance, you're moving your body under the water, there's glass, there's slick tile, there's it is not a safe environment at all. But there are technologies that we can use to make our bathroom safer. First of all, walk-in bathtubs are they're just no-brainers. I mean, I don't get people who resist the idea of having a safe bathing appliance in their home. And with Bentley Baths, we have over 35 different shells and configurations. You know, for over 15 years, we've been specifically focused as a business on bringing this cutting-edge technology to the public and helping people understand, I don't care what your body size is or your we have them for people in wheelchairs, obese people, you name it, right? Because we have to serve the entire public. But if you're in a deep soaking environment with sidewalls and you can bathe in a seated position, then you are not at risk of falling. So it doesn't matter. High blood pressure, multiple sclerosis, diabetes, epilepsy, you just go down the list. Any challenge you may be dealing with very few exceptions, a walk-in bathtub is going to create a much more safe environment and stable environment. And again, if your goal is to stay in your home as long as possible and live independently, remember the story of my mom. It's easy to remember, okay? She fell in the bathtub. And then, and I may not have discussed it in this show so far, but what drove her into the nursing home? The day that my dad could no longer bathe her safely in that bathtub. That was when all the professionals said, she's got to go into the nursing home. Bathroom hurt her, bathroom drove her out of the home. And that's a fact. So I want you to think real quickly of other aspects just in your bathroom. And on another show, we'll talk about other areas of the house because we can make your whole house safe. You just need to be proactive. I say in my book, for under $20,000, we can do anything you need, whether it's dealing with stairs, ramps, lifts, bathroom issues, whatever. And I can make a bathroom 100 times safer for under $100. So next thing I would say is get rid of towel bars. Towel bars should be outlawed. They are not designed to support you. You can replace that device with a grab bar, and it will support you. You can still put your towels on it. Get rid of shower doors and flimsy curtains and things like that that are a nuisance and a trip hazard. Definitely remove any floor mats that you have, bath mats and loose items like that that are on the floor that become trip hazards. And unless they're securely attached to the floor, they will be a trip hazard. Think about where your toiletries and accessories are in the bathtub. I mean, I see a lot of people putting portable benches and things like that in their tub, and that's what killed my mom. Portable means movable. And guess what? It moved, and she thought she was going to fall. And that's what set up her situation. So think about that. And are the locations of your toiletries, do you have shelves and access? Can you use a handheld shower to make your bathroom safer? Lighting is really important. A lot of people have really lowly, dimly lit, bathroom lights. So that's a real easy thing. So there's a checklist. You know, just go to the Being Young at Any Age website and just type it in straight up, beingyoungatanyage.com. contact me there. I'd be very happy to get you a free copy of my book, Killer Bathrooms. It goes through in detail all this information you need. Also, talk to us about other aspects of your home. We have a company, Empower Home Solutions, that does everything in the home, ramps, lifts, we can modify kitchens, whatever it is that you need. But the point is, be proactive and do something before you have an accident that you can't reverse the clock on, if you know what I mean. Again, I want to thank you for being here. Next week, we'll have our Curious George segment. So send in email or call in any questions that you've got at all, and I will cover those in the next show. I'm going to start taking one every week. So call us at 303-388-8887. Email me at george@beingyoungatanyage.com or go to the website. But we'll see you next week. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Being Young at Any Age with George Bentley. Tune in next weekend to learn how to create a roadmap to achieve happiness, health, and wellness today on EZ 1430.